Again, it is a blessing to be with you this morning to worship Almighty God because He alone is worthy. He alone is the Most High God. I would invite you at this moment to turn in your Bibles, if you have them, to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. We are going to be this morning kind of traveling over a lot of the New Testament. We won't be digging into one passage in particular. And so there isn't a handout, there isn't to fill in notes, those kind of things. But if you have a little extra sheet of paper in your bulletin and a pen, you know, if you want to scribble down a verse, I would recommend that. Maybe think about it a little later. But we will come to this passage again before the end of our time. But I wanted to begin with it to kind of set the stage. 1 John chapter 5, verses 11 and 12. The Word of God reads, "And the testimony is this, that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He who has the Son has the life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have the life." May the Lord add His blessing to the reading of His Word. I don't know if you picked up on it. When we sang our first song this morning together, it was there was a line in it that said, "Wear thy victory, O grave. Wear thy victory, O grave." Death is not a, what's the word, pleasant subject that we often engage in. It's a sorrowful thing. Do you remember? Some of you are old enough to remember. There was a commercial on TV years ago. It was kind of a risky marketing campaign for Tombstone Pizza. And, you know, it was a setup. Like there was a firing squad or a young teenager threw a party and his parents pulled in the driveway. And, you know, death was imminent, so to speak. And the question was, what do you want on your tombstone? And the answer that came back was pepperoni and cheese, you know. And a lot of us are laughing, which means that the marketing ploy worked. They took a risk and put death equal to pizza. But we remember that. If you were to visit Ruth Bell Graham's grave, Ruth passed away in 2007, what she has written on her tombstone is this: "End of construction. Thank you for your patience." Wasn't a favorite Bible verse. Wasn't anything super spiritual. It was a recognition that her life was a process. She was under construction the whole time. And when she passed from this world to the next, on her tombstone, she said, "End of construction." So the real question is, what do you want written on your tombstone? Death is not a pleasant conversation topic. It is a reality for every human that has ever existed. It is a great philosophical question. What happens after we die? What's next? Now, we could say an awful lot about that. But Almighty God, in His Word, says to us in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, after it talks about there's a time to give birth, there's a time for everything under the sun, it says in verse 11, "He has made everything appropriate in its time. He has also set eternity in their hearts, yet so that man will not find out the work which God has done from the beginning even to the end." God has set eternity in all of our hearts, yet there will not be satisfaction in our lives, in our hearts, for until we deal and wrestle with this question of what do we want written? of our eternity. Every human being that has ever existed will live forever. We might not live in this physical form. Well, we won't, actually. But we will exist forever. From the moment we were conceived, we will exist forever. Romans chapter 6, verses 20 through 23, a very, very familiar passage, kind of expands that a little bit for us. The whole of chapter 6 really does. It talks about slavery to sin and the law and those kinds of things. And then at the end of that chapter, God tells us this: "For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. Therefore, what benefit were you then deriving from the things of which you are now ashamed? For the outcome of those things is death. But now, having been freed from sin and enslaved to God, you derive your benefit resulting in sanctification and the outcome, eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." And so today we celebrate. We come together on this Resurrection Day. We acknowledge, we celebrate the truth that God gives eternal life. Now, I just got done saying that every human being will exist forever. So that's eternity future. So we know that he put eternity in our hearts, and that's where it goes. But Scripture teaches us that there are different ending points in that, different places: eternal life or eternal condemnation, which Scripture calls death. Romans 6:23, we just read it. "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4, God tells us this: "Now I make known to you, brethren, the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, in which also you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast the word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures." And then he appeared to Cephas and to the others. Jesus Christ was crucified and died for our sins on a Friday. And on Sunday, he rose again and is seated at the right hand of the Father. On the third day, he was raised according to the Scriptures. John 11, verses 25 and 26, as Jesus is speaking to Mary and Martha about Lazarus, he says to them, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even if he dies. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even if he dies. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die." 1 John chapter 2, verse 25. "This is the promise which he himself made to us, eternal life." Just a smattering of a few different scriptures that God has given us to underscore that he is the one who promises, who gives eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. But on the other side of that, it's not as if every human is going to end up with eternal life. Matthew chapter 25, verses 41 through 46. then he will also say to those on his left, depart from me, accursed ones, into eternal fire, which has been prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me. Then they themselves also will answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not take care of you? Then he will answer them, truly I say to you, to the extent that you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. These will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. So lest you think that the church and me, want to scare you into heaven and into eternal life. Jesus Christ is talking here about his judgment seat. And those who have been separated out and on his left, depart from me, you accursed one. Go into eternal fire that was reserved for the devil and his angels. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 9. These will pay the penalty of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. John 3:36. In the beginning of the Gospel of John, right after he talks to Nicodemus and gives that most famous rendition that we know, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave us his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. And then later in that chapter, we read, he who believes in the Son has eternal life. But he who does not obey the Son will not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. I had the privilege of hearing my father-in-law give his testimony on a number of occasions. He got pretty radically saved when he was in his early 30s. And what I mean by that is the Lord delivered him from a whole bunch of different things. And the one thing that he would say, he would implore those who were listening to his testimony. He would say, there is a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. I heard him say that on many, many occasions. Death is not a pleasant subject to speak about. If it were not so, why would Christ have to come and die for our sins? Why would he have to be raised to life again, conquering sin and death and hell, if it were not so? Now, we have all kinds of attempts in our lives to gain this heaven and shun this hell. We do it by our own goodness. If I just help that lady across the street, if I just give to the poor, if I go to church, we think that if we just have integrity, if we say something and live up to our word, that makes us a good person and acceptable to God because we weren't representing ourselves in a fraudulent way. We think our integrity will save us. Many, many philosophies in the world ascribe to the idea that if you believe sincerely in what you believe in, that will save you. We used to think, and probably a lot of us still do, that if we just have the right precepts in order, if we think correctly, if we use our reason and we believe all of the rational arguments for the existence of God, that we will be saved. We put our faith in reason or philosophy. Or we could even twist the Puritan understanding of righteousness, that God will bless us with success if we are good Christians. That's a twist on the Puritans, but we believe that success is a measure of our salvation. And those are all erroneous. There is no other name under heaven by which man must be saved except the name of Jesus. You see, God gives us eternal life. Jesus died for our sins. And in 2 Timothy 1:10, it says that he conquers death. But what is eternal life? And the witness is this, the testimony is this, that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has the life. He who does not have the Son does not have the life. Eternal life is a matter of having the Son. Not just believing in Jesus. The demons believe in Jesus and tremble. There are people you know, and maybe you're sitting here and you don't buy all this God stuff. I've never seen him. I've never talked to him. If God would just sit down, if Jesus were to just sit down with me and have a cup of coffee, I'll believe. I know a man who actually said to a friend of mine, I'll believe in what you're telling me if I get struck by lightning. He was walking across the quad on a cloudy day at the University of Buffalo, dragging an umbrella, and lightning struck the tip of his umbrella. And my friend went to the hospital and said, do you believe now? And guess what he said? No. No. He continued to reject. That's how you do not have the Son. When Jesus Christ was on the earth and he was preaching the gospel of the kingdom, he said, repent and believe the good news that who he is. Turn from whatever you're trusting in. Your goodness, your integrity, your sincerity, your philosophy, whatever it is. Turn from your sin and believe in me. Put your full weight in me. What is this thing, eternal life? We see it there in God's word, that it is he who has the Son has the life, he who does not have the Son does not have the life. Well, Jesus was praying in the Gospel of John. It's called the high priestly prayer because it's a big, thick prayer. It's really tremendous to study it out. And in John chapter 17, verse 3, as he's praying, he says this. This is eternal life. So you want to know what it is? It's not streets of gold. It's not sitting on clouds in the never-ending worship service singing Hosanna for the rest of eternity. It's not meeting our loved ones. It's not going up to Abraham and getting to sit down and ask him, hey, what was it like to be called a friend of God? It's not talking to David. What does it mean? You know, how did you? It's not those things. Doesn't mean that those things aren't involved in it. This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Knowing God is eternal life. It isn't a sense of euphoria. It is knowing God and Jesus Christ whom he has sent. And we don't have to wait for that. You can have that now. You will live forever. And you can know God right now and be in eternal life. We come to the cross of Christ where he is no longer hanging. He is alive, seated at the right hand of God, interceding on behalf of those who know him. Or you can remain in your sin, trust in your goodness and your philosophy and your reason, and be part of the group on the left that go into eternal destruction. I was having a conversation with someone this morning based on something that we talked about on Friday, which was God's forsakenness of Jesus on the cross. And just thinking about the ideas of, I had this conversation at least twice today, about the idea of the communion that the Father had with the Son for all of eternity. Light and love and fellowship and truth. Never in the history of God, whatever that means in his existence, was the Son separated from the Father. But in that moment, he knew it all. When he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? And he did that because that's what I deserve. He did that because that's what you deserve. And so when you and I come to the cross where he hung and bled and died, where he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? And we trust in him. We are transferred from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his beloved Son. We move from eternal destruction to eternal life because God gives eternal life. Well, maybe you've done that. Maybe you've done that. Praise God. If you haven't, don't wait. Do that now. Do it in the quiet of your heart. Repent of your sins. Thank Almighty God that Jesus Christ died on the cross and put your full trust in him. Some of you noticed this rope here in the front. You were looking at it, and some people asked me, what are you doing, Pastor? I said, are you staying for church? You'll find out. I'm stealing this from Francis Chan. If you're a Francis Chan fan, you know what this is. If you don't, pay attention. This rope represents the existence of God. This isn't heaven. This is eternity. And imagine that the rope went through the windows and just kept going in both directions. All the way to your right, all the way to your left. Just not never ending, never beginning, never ending, just the existence of Almighty God. And he exists in heaven, so, you know, there is a place for it, kind of thing. But it's about his existence, and it's about eternity. Okay. Seth, can you see what's on there? See that? What is that? It's a little twist tie. Do you know what that twist tie represents? Your life. I dare say that's probably a little bit too big. Your life. Your circumstances. Your grief, your joy, your pain, your sorrow. Your entire existence is this twist tie. But did you know that this twist tie is impacting the rope? The Bible says that those of us who know Jesus Christ, if we build with wood, hay, and stubble, that when it passes through the fire, it will be burned off. But those who build with precious gold, silver, and precious gems, when it goes through the fire, it will be a reward. And when we enter into eternity, when we're in the presence of Almighty God, if we are saved, we go into eternal life with our rewards to cast at His feet, to glorify Him. But if we don't, we go into eternal destruction, where there is weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. Take courage, beloved. Be of good cheer. Jesus Christ died, but lives again. Our Savior has defeated our enemies. God is waiting today, like the prodigal father, for those who have been in rebellion and running away from Him to turn to Him and receive forgiveness through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. We continue to worship together today in prayer.